Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Kay Momquist and Chip Haley. Sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. It is just so good to have you alongside today. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Momquist.
I tell you, Kay, again, it's been a very, very busy week for both you and myself. We're continuing to interview all the committee chairs, and it's been just so wonderful talking to each one, and they are so energized, they're excited. And I love hearing about that.
Yep. As I said last week, it is just great to talk to them because they're coming to us with ideas that they have. As you can tell, they've given us all consideration, and just the whole feeling of excitement is really, really great to see in everybody.
You bet. And one of those individuals that we interviewed is the individual that we're going to be interviewing today for Meet the People of MCB. And that is Patrick Patton. He's the president of Agape. And so welcome, Patrick. So good to have you here on Meet the People. Yeah. yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We're going to have some fun today, Patrick. So I hope you enjoy this. So, Patrick, as I mentioned to you, one of the things that we always like to do, first of all, is when we interview someone, is first of all, talk about their vision loss. So why don't you share with us what was the result of your vision loss?
Oh, wow. I am extremely blessed, even if you can say that about losing your vision, in that I've always been extremely nearsighted, and I started battling glaucoma at the age of 18. And that's a really horrible age to have glaucoma, because that's an age that you are invincible. So, you know, if something is not creating a lot of pain, you don't pay attention to it, because, you know, once again, you're invincible. So by the time I was 24, I believe I was 24, I had a very significant vision loss. And I remember that day, I was working at the IRS, a fairly new employee. I was doing some research in one of our manuals, and I'm reading the page, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, I can't see what's on this page. So at that time, I went to my manager and said, I think I need to go see an eye doctor immediately, because I can't read this page anymore. So she said, by all means, go ahead and take off. And here's the crazy part. So I get in my car because I can't read the page. hey, don't judge. You know, the visual impairment thing, losing your independence in driving, it's a process. So I get in my car and I drive down to St. Louis University to the eye center, and I'm like, hey, something's going on. And he's like, yeah, your vision, you've had a significant loss, there's a lot of nerve damage, so here's some eye drops, and good luck.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much. However, here's where I'm truly blessed. So I'm Go back to work maybe a day later or a day or two later. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to fire me. It's just a matter of time because I can't read and my job is doing research. So how am I going to do my job? And I'm walking through the aisles because this is at the IRS. And one of the lady's dogs is barking at me because, you know, the dog was, you know, it was my kind of dog. A little crazy. So it's letting me know, don't come in this cubicle because you don't have permission. So it's barking at me. And then I walk past someone blind, totally blind, with the cane going down the aisle. And I start thinking to myself, wait a minute. I still have vision. These people are totally blind and they're still doing this job.
There you go. Yeah.
This is like a blind mecca. I think I'm going to be okay. So I didn't panic. But, you know, once again, it's still that transition that you have to go through in accepting that there are limits and that, you know, you need some assistance. But so I was in denial for maybe a year to 6 months. And my denial was all I need is a magnifying glass. So every day I, you know, do my research with my little magnifying glass up to my one eye. And, you know, I'm straining and hunched over my desk. And I go home with back problems. I was really slow. And so one day they scheduled me for training. And this is when at the IRS, all the VIs kind of were a tight-knit group. So I guess a couple of them have had a meeting and were like, okay, you know what? He's making our backs hurt. He's making our eyes hurt with all this training. He said, okay, well, listen, Patrick, we know you don't want any equipment. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to set this up in the classroom for you. You know, just try it out. See if you like it. Here's how you use it. And, you know, just kind of browse through it. And I started using a CCTV, and all of a sudden I could read things a lot quicker. I didn't have to hunch over it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. For the first time in 6 months, my back doesn't hurt. So it went from there to Zoom text, and it was an interesting transition. So as I progressed with my career with the IRS, I was able to do the same thing to other individuals that we would notice that may be losing their eyesight, or, you know, they're hunched over, they're using magnifying glasses, and we just all kind of, now I'm in on the click, which, do you believe that? You know, my back is hurting just looking at this person doing this. And we were able to kind of transition several people in how to request equipment, how to fight for your rights as being someone visually impaired, getting what you needed to do the job, and, you know, to maintain your employment. So that was a very interesting transition. And that's why I say I was very blessed with my vision loss. I guess it was 2014, around Christmas, I had another significant vision loss. You know, I was still kind of in denial. I had to teach a class, so I had to go up to, I had to go to work, had to be there early. So I'm leaving. It's in December. It's about 5 a.m. because I got to prep for this lesson. And I know my vision is getting worse, but I'm like, well, I'm still okay. So I get on the bus, find my way to the bus stop, get on the bus, and I'm at the Central West End Metrolink. And so I got to get from the bus to the Metrolink platform, which is this really long trail. I'm like, okay, don't worry. Just follow the herd. We'll just follow the person in front of us to the Metrolink platform. So the person in front of me is maybe 5 feet away, and they get 6 feet away and they disappear. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I think this is a little more serious than I first anticipated, and my eyes are throbbing. I'm thinking that I may need to go back home because I think this may be kind of serious. So I turn around, I find my way back to the bus, and the bus driver's like, "Hey, what's going on? Why are you back here?" I said, "Well, I think I just went blind." Mm-hmm. Like, okay, are you going to be okay finding your way home? I'm like, yeah, it's just a sidewalk. I can find my way home. So I followed the sidewalk back home. She drops me off back at my bus stop. And so it was at that point that I'm like, well, I think I may need to transition and either retool as someone who is a very low partial maybe even blind and get the additional training, because I'd never really had official training to be as someone visually impaired. I did not even have a cane at that time. So we went in and went to my eye doctor, and he was like, yeah. Well, actually, on several of my eye appointments, I'd always ask, well, I need a note for going back to work. And everyone in the doctor's office would go, you still work? Mm-hmm. Wow. You're not actually crossing streets, are you? By yourself? Yeah, we're going to pray for you. But it didn't dawn on me. I'm like, yeah, doesn't everyone? So, finally received training. I went to Alpha Point and received basic living skills training, and that's where I was able to do training with night shading. So it really assisted me in building up that confidence of being able to navigate no matter what. I also received training from Rehab Services for the first time prior to going to Alpha Point, and Khalil with the mobility training and the additional training that I received from Rehab Services really had a great impact on my transition from being a high partial to a low partial. And I just tip my hat to them to this day, because they're a phenomenal group. So
yeah.
Also the folks at Alpha Point, it was a great learning experience in how to cross major streets safely, and Kansas City streets are they pose different challenges than those of St. Louis. Apparently, Kansas City has not figured out that you should put a strip of land, maybe grass or something, between the street and the pedestrians. There's nothing like a truck buzzing by you at 45 mm-hmm. an hour. Mm-hmm. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, mm-hmm. truck about to run us over. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very good experience in how to remain calm when you think you're about to die. So I really, that was a great experience as well. Got a lot of exercise, and my heart and cardio was strengthened at Alpha Point. So. And then, as I've been active in Agape for many years as the treasurer, and that's pretty much the office that I've held for probably the last 8 years. And I recently took over as president. So it's been very exciting.
Well, Patrick, I can identify with you when you were talking earlier about going through the whole denial process. I went through the denial process for 7 years. I denied the whole thing, not just my blindness, but anything related to blindness. I did not want to draw Social Security disability, blind pension, any of that stuff. So I went through that whole denial process for 7 years before I finally accepted my blindness and was able to move on. What I would like to do now is to kind of back up a little bit, and we'll get more into some of the things that you shared. But also share with us a little bit about your family. You have brothers, sisters. I know your wife, Treva. Share with us a little bit about your family.
I have a very dynamic family. I've been truly blessed. Grew up in a single parent household. My mother was really a mother bear. And she really looked out for all of us, made sure that we had everything that we need. Grew up, you know, we didn't know we were poor because we had everything we needed. We just didn't have everything we wanted. You know, meals were always on the table, you know, always had utilities. So I was very blessed. I have two older sisters. So I learned at an early age how to take a punch. And, you know, it's helped me being president of Agape because I'm used to, you know, saying, of course, yes, yeah, we'll get that done right away. So that's really helped me in later on in life and also as being a husband. That's exactly right. See, so I never miss an NFL game. For those of you who are laughing right now going, what a henpecked guy. I get to football games, watch favorite shows uninterrupted. So you might want to try that. Anyway, I have two wonderful daughters, Patrice and Patra. And I've been truly blessed. I'm married to my wife, Treva, you mentioned earlier. And she's a really soft-spoken woman with carries many blunt objects. I mean, carries a warm, loving heart. So I am truly overwhelmingly blessed in that manner. I also, you know, God puts you where he wants you in my case, because one of the things that I grew up with, even when I was losing my vision or being visually impaired, you know, any time that I thought about saying, well, you know, mom, you know, it's really hard out here for someone who has limited vision. Before I could get that out of my mouth, I would hear this. You know, your uncle, he doesn't even have eyes.
Wow, yeah.
He's had three jobs. He owns his own home. And he's raised a family. I'm sorry. What were you complaining about? Like this. Yeah. And for complaints, and as soon as he gets his service, then I'll go ahead and complain. So I've been blessed in that, you know, my uncle who was totally blind, and my Aunt Bessie Reese, who has been a very strong advocate for visually impaired and blind.
Yes.
You know, and not everyone has seen this side of her really loving and caring personality. But she made sure that, hey, how you doing? Are you okay? And so during that transition, it wasn't as abrupt for me because I grew up with visually impaired and blind people. So it wasn't a drastic, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now situation.
Yeah. I'm going to pass it over to Kay here real quick, but I do want to ask one last question before I do that. So what are the ages of your daughters?
Okay. My daughters are 22 and 26.
All right. Okay. Well, great. Okay. Kay, I know you have been sitting there very patiently, and I know you've got a lot of questions, so you just go right ahead.
Yeah, well, 22 and 26. So you made it past the I'm a teenager and I know everything. That's like 16 going on 30. I remember raising my kids really well, and it was a very interesting experience. And so that's nice that you have a family that, you know, is around and that you're still with and care about. And same thing for your wife and your daughters. So how, with all this going on, Did you, after you decided that you'd lost your vision and that you probably ought to get a cane so you didn't kill yourself falling down a flight of steps or things like that? And not only that, the cane works in another way too. At least it's supposed to alert people, oh, they're blind. Okay, so that's good. So they don't accuse you of staggering around a restroom while you're in an airport or whatever, not knowing where you're going. So having a cane kind of serves a couple of purposes. So after you decided that, yeah, okay, I am losing my vision and I do need to learn O&M and different things like that, how did you discover MCB and how did you get involved in it?
My discovery of MCB and getting involved was not...
Or Agape, yeah.
It wasn't really voluntary. My aunt, Bessie Reese, I always said that she should have been working for the IRS and collections, the ACS division, because if you were missing, she could track you down. You know, I actually sent a letter when they were looking for Bin Laden. I said, listen, you need to contact Bessie Reese. She will find him. She finds everyone, and she will bring him back. So with my aunt, she was very instrumental in me becoming involved and encouraging me and explaining what MCB, Agape, and ACB, what those organizations were about and how they were impacting visually impaired. While I was in my 20s, and she kept saying, hey, you need to apply for this, that, and the other. And I completely kind of, yeah, I was in my 20s, so I blow off. Yeah. Okay, all right, blind, right, da, da, da.
Yep.
So, you know, that's being 20. So when my children do that to me, I just say, karma always gets you back. So I expect it, and I don't take it personally. And I show the patience that my aunt and uncle showed to me. As I was transitioning and as I became more involved, I knew and I realized what their importance were in advocating for the visually impaired and why it's so important that we have a voice. You know, Chip was saying, well, he was in denial. Well, you know, I'm not going to let Chip outdo me, especially on my interview. See, Chip thinks he was in denial. Let me tell you, not only was I in denial, but God kept giving me hints. You know, God is talking to you when it's the coldest day of the year. You're just trying to get home and you're walking across the street. And this is when I had learned why this city does things the way that they do. They put stop signs in certain spots. And there's a reason for that. And I found that out when I was walking home and I'm walking and all of a sudden I hit something. And gosh, it's like, you know, stop that, don't move. I just want you all, when you run, it doesn't move. It just sits there. So after, you know, because it was ice everywhere and I fall down and I look around before I get up to see if anyone saw me falling down because, you know, I'm still trying to look cool as I'm throbbing in pain. Like, I meant to run into a stop sign, which, you know, that was God telling me, you should stop and get some training and some assistance because this is not really working for you. I'm really getting tired of sending angels down to, you know, guide you through traffic, get cars away from you. You know, you might want to think about that. Also, traffic signs. That's another thing you don't want to run into. Fire hydrants. Oh, you're going to be in a lot of pain when you run into those. So for those of you who, you know, you think that you can still see and you're transitioning, you may want to get a cane. Your shins, your head, and shoulders will thank you for it. Now, that's just my own public service announcement of being hard-headed and how that can really give you a lesson that you don't want to have to pay for. So
I remember that same thing, going to school and everything else and not using a cane. And it was just, if I didn't have it, I'd want to go over to a friend's house or do something or whatever. And they'd say, don't you need your cane? It's like, no, I'm fine. I can see good enough. And I went all over town without my cane. And it did take me a while before I realized, you know, you are just a bit safer with it. So I started making a habit of carrying it. But it took a while. It really did. And I understand. I can see good enough. I can see the curb. I can see the steps. And once in a while, you couldn't. And you didn't. And, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I can relate to that. So your aunt.
Get that, Kay. Visually impaired folks, especially partials, have the best sense of balance of anyone on the planet. Because you get used to missing steps and learn how to become and slide.
I've done the various dances that you learn to do.
But every day when I'm using my cane, my knees thank me.
I hear you.
Whew.
So your aunt is directly responsible for you getting involved with MCB. And so what did you, just went to meetings just to see what they were, or did you decide that you wanted to get involved, or how, what was your reaction to it?
I went to the meetings for Agape, and I decided that I did want to get involved in it. And so I ran for treasurer of the organization, and Agape was, we were just very active with the Black History Program, with the Gospel Fest, Chili Suppers. And it was a great way of forming a community with visually impaired individuals, and also reaching out to folks who were not as blessed as I was in, having a workplace where they were able to transition me faster than I was. You know, not everyone, has a organization behind them that, doesn't mind spending money on equipment or knows what type of equipment to purchase. So it was my way of giving back.
Okay. Well, Chip, do you have any other questions?
I do, and we'll have just time for Patrick to answer my question, and then you can go ahead and then ask your great question that I know you love to ask. So, Patrick, I got to tell you, I love your wife's voice. I think she has an absolutely beautiful voice. And then also, you are very articulate. You come across as being very bright, intelligent. And, you guys, Agape hosted the convention this year, and we have got nothing but great reviews about what a wonderful job Agape did with this year's MCB State Convention. So you guys really did an awesome job. But I wanted just to go back real quickly and ask you, where did you attend college, or did you attend college?
Attended college at Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville.
Okay. Right. All right. Kay, you wanted to ask your question?
Sure. My question is, what has Patrick Patton done that very few of your friends or acquaintances or whatever know that you think that they might find interesting? It's really kind of interesting. It can be a hobby. It can be something that you've done just out of nowhere. It can all this question gets answered differently by everybody. And it's really kind of neat to hear these little snippets or whatever. But is there anything that Patrick Patton has done that we might find interesting that most people don't know?
Yeah, most people would not know this about me. I have a very dry sense of humor, and it's something that's in the family. It's really dry, and you have to pay close attention to it because she may miss it. And also, Chip mentioned, and I thank you so much, Chip. I really appreciate that, I appear to be articulate and kind of put together, and some people don't see it that way. It's interesting until they actually get to know me And I'll give you an example. Here's a really funny story. I was at the IRS and we were in a management training program. And, you know, every couple of weeks we'd have to go to Kansas City for training. And I'm in the minivan with one of the guys in the training program. It's just the two of us. And we've been spending time together. And, you know, he's, you know, from a rural area and, you know, jeans and, you know, kind of a t-shirt guy. And I'm shirt and tie and slacks. And I kind of look kind of, I'll use the word conservative. Yeah, that's the word I'll use. We're, you know, riding around and he turns to me and he says, "You know, Patrick, wow, you're not who I thought you were. You know, all this time, I've always thought of you as a arrogant a-hole." And he actually said the word. "But now I realize that you really are not arrogant." And I turned and looked at him and said, "What do you mean I'm not arrogant? I am every bit of, I deserve my AA rating." And I guess people don't realize that I actually do have a sense of humor. And, you know, I'm kind of fun loving and I'm not as structured as most people perceive me to be. I am when it requires it, but for the most part, you know, when we're not in a situation that requires it, I'm not at all structured. But I would say I think most people's perceptions of me may be a little skewed, but, you know, I'm someone that just likes to be in the midst with people, assisting and achieving goals, such as making sure that our voices are heard and that we are functioning in a positive way as an organization. And that includes AGAPE, MCB, and also ACB, that we're working for a common goal. So that would be the secret about me that not too many people know.
Okay, well, let me ask you, Patrick, in closing, we have just a few minutes remaining. Is there any words of wisdom or encouragement that you would like to share with all of our listeners?
Oh, wow. Now, that one I wasn't expecting. Okay. Words of encouragement. Here's something that I've held on to. It is always darkest before dawn. Before you get to where you need to be, you're going to have to go through trials, tribulations, and it's not going to be easy. Anything that is worth doing is never easy. It requires sacrifice. It's going to challenge you. And once you have withstood that, you come out so much stronger in the end. And so as you're going through these trials and tribulations, you know, take advantage of things that you have learned. And as you're going through the process, even though it's hard and difficult, it is a way of remaking yourself into a better you. Sometimes as you go through, you lose many things. Now, by me being a Christian, as I transitioned, a lot of things were taken away during that period of 6 months while I was, you know, waiting on my disability to kick in. And I lost a lot of things. But somehow, some way, God saw me through it. And it was through that process that my relationship with God got so much stronger. So even in that dark time, it allowed me to focus on that relationship. It allowed me to, that God introduced different people and showed me folks in my life that were really there in my time of need. So even in those darkest times and periods, just hang on. It will get better.
Thank you so much, Patrick, for sharing those words, those thoughts. I really appreciate it. I'd like to sit down with you a little bit later on another time and visit with you even more. I think you and I have a lot of things in common, and I'd like to sit down and kind of share some things with you and hear and get your thoughts on them as well. Go ahead, Kay.
Well, I was just going to say, I agree with you, Patrick. And I think one more thing that I would even add to that is it's the ability to be able to look back at what happened and realize that because of what happened, you're a stronger person. You made it. You didn't think you could. You did. And to be able to look back and see the transition and see the difference is so important as well. So I thank you for the words of wisdom, because they make a lot of sense. They truly do.
You bet. That is right. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview, we would be so happy to do that. You can have them call me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Kay Malmquist at 608-436-2610.
And again, Patrick, thank you so much for being our special guest today here on Meet the People of MCB. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your week, and we'll catch you right back here next time.